This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 210 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, October 21st, 2015. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. And Marcus, you know, it feels like we haven't done this in a while, and it's only been a week, but glad to be back at it.
Absolutely. And I'm telling you, last week I had no idea what to do on a Wednesday night. I was like going, where's Jeff? Jeff's not here. So it was traumatic not having an episode, and I'm sure all of our fans and listeners out there are feeling the same, and they're welcoming us back with open arms today.
So before we get underway here, I got to wish everybody a happy Back to the Future Day. I mean, the internet's just gone wild over it. It's one of my favorite movies, part one, more so than the other two, because I like its rendition of 1955, although I heartily doubt that's the way 1955 really was, where, you know, everything was pristine and clean and just everybody looked like they were having a good time. You know, it is a movie, so
yeah, and it doesn't look like the Cubs are going to win the World Series either.
No, it does not. Holy smokes. In fact, I've seen some of the headlines suggestions already, and one of them says Mets send Cubs back in time. ouch, you know. So, it doesn't look like that's gonna progress, but holy smokes, you know, from 7:49 p.m. onwards, Back to the Future, everything will have taken place in the past. It just seems kind of weird to think of it that way.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you've read the book 1984, none of that stuff happened either. So,
That's right. So I did not do a show. We did not do a show last week because I was on my way to Virginia Beach for the first inaugural WordCamp Hampton Roads event, located in Virginia Beach last weekend. Managed to spend a couple days out there with some good friends of mine. In fact, one of them is Jeff Manson, who we mentioned on the last episode, creator of a couple cool plugins. And I got to say, for the first WordCamp for the area, and sort of on short notice, the event was really well done. The Wi-Fi worked great. The venue was nice. It was actually quite a few people there. The last time I checked, there was, and this was like a day before the actual event, there were about 20 tickets left. So they might have sold out. I'm not sure. But a great turnout for that local area, especially considering it was the first event of its kind for the Virginia Beach Hampton Roads area. I managed to catch a few sessions, including the Women of WordPress panel, which was very interesting. Something I was looking forward to. We're basically, there's about six women on stage that are pretty successful in the WordPress community in various ways. And they talked about ways and ideas on how the WordPress project and maybe the community can help encourage more women to get involved with the project. So that was cool to hear. The after party was great. It was one of those bar venues where luckily it wasn't very crowded. So even though there was music, it was more towards the back of the event. So you could talk to people and you could sort of hear them. You didn't have to worry about losing your voice. It was a 1 day affair. Overall, just a great event. All the people involved with putting that event together, great job. And looking forward to seeing if they do it again for next year.
Yeah, I might go next year. I mean, hanging out with you and Matt's in the same venue would be actually kind of fun.
Yeah, it was quite neat. Some of the people that were there, it was almost having like a WordPress after hours live, which is a little thing I do on Friday nights with members of the WordPress community. We had a bunch of people there, and that was fun. Now, outside of WordCamp Hampton Roads, I also had an opportunity, something I've been looking forward to for a long time. I had the chance to see and work from the Rocket Genius offices that are located in Virginia Beach. And, of course, Rocket Genius is the company behind the awesome Gravity Forms commercial plugin. And got to see. Now, if you, you know, they take their company name very seriously, Carl does, and the rest of the team there, where there's their logos on the front door. And if you go inside, you'll see actual, like, signs from NASA research centers and space helmets and the space suit and rockets. And
really?
And for God's sakes, Carl Hancock actually has a real meteorite on his desk as a paperweight. And this thing is heavy.
Which ended up in your luggage, I'm sure.
absolutely not. But it was pretty cool. If like you're in the Virginia Beach area and you can't make it to a NASA museum or something, the Rocket Genius office is the next best thing, let me tell you. Cool. It was just really cool because all the props they had were legitimate, either used or, you know, the real deal in some shape, way, or form. But it was nice. The big takeaway I have from visiting and working from the Rocket Genius Studios is I know in a few days there was at least three or four members of the Rocket Genius team working from the office at the same time. And I was able to observe, you know, how they work together in the office environment. And the way they have it set up is they have an office where they can work from if they choose to, or if, let's say, something comes up or they prefer to work remotely from home, they can do that as well. So I was able to see what it's like to have both the option of working from an office or working from home, depending on what's going on in your life or how you feel that day. And I got to say, it was pretty cool to see three or four members of the team in an office together. And if they have a question, they could just go over to each other's computers or they could just say it out loud and you can collaborate right there in real time. We don't have to mess around with Slack. Or, you know, and there was always that option of, well, maybe you could just work remotely from home. But being able to have that sort of flexibility to either go into the office and work with people, which may help some people with their sanity in terms of being a remote or distributed worker, or just working from home because maybe you got some things going on. I think it was like seeing the best of both worlds. And as we get into this environment where there's more and more opportunities to be a distributed, aka remote worker, I think it was that so far from what I've seen, it's nice to have the best of both worlds. You can either choose to go in the office that day or choose to work from home. It doesn't have to be just one or just the other. And it was just really cool to sort of see that and give me a new appreciation for the offices and WordPress companies that are set up that way.
Yeah, the one problem with having a model like that in which you give people kind of flex time, unlimited freedoms to work either from home or in the office is oftentimes you'll get a lack of accountability so that, you know, you may not know where that person is, if they're not accountable for their time or what they're doing. Oftentimes it needs a higher degree of transparency in terms of what their actual tasks and milestones are that they're working on. So the only way that ever really works out is if you have a really great, robust project management system. So I hope that's the case with Rocket Genius, and they're a very adept company that's obviously hires some pretty smart people. So I'm sure that they've got that in place.
Well, based on what I saw and experienced, it's sort of like a family. It's sort of like a family there with the people they have working there at the office. Everyone seems to be held accountable for what they're doing. Everybody has their set tasks and milestones. And it's like they all come in, or most of them come into the office that day. They start chipping away at the things they have to do and to just progress on the product one day to the next. And, you know, I think it's fairly obvious if somebody's not pulling their weight or they're not hitting those milestones. I think it becomes fairly obvious. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, you bring up this issue of accountability, but isn't that one of the biggest fears? Maybe one of the top fears of companies or bosses allowing their employees to work from home is that they have to be there in the office. They have to be able to see them working in that cubicle. They have to be able to walk by and see them smashing away at a keyboard. That seems to be one of the things I think maybe possibly holding back this whole distributed notion of distributed work from becoming widespread or commonplace.
Yeah, I mean, it is an act of, you know, faith and trust in terms of enabling employees to pursue that kind of schedule. But I will pose this, you know, there are some people, and obviously some of the people out in the WordPress community, there are probably many hundreds that fit this profile exactly. A lot of people work better at home alone with no distractions and kind of work in the zone that way rather than being in an office environment with tons of different people where they may not be comfortable with working with those people, or, you know, perhaps it's just, you know, they do better working on their home system or whatever, you know, and you never know. But that's one advantage, I guess, is that you can kind of those sort of personas and personalities that probably wouldn't work otherwise in an office structure. You still have the ability to hire that kind of talent and still make them work remotely, or let them work remotely, rather.
All right. So it was a pleasure getting to talk to Carl and the team and talk about the last, let's see, I'd say 7 or 8 years since I initially saw Gravity Forms, sort of the birth of it at WordCamp Chicago all those years ago. Mm-hmm. And I got some insight into what the team is working on. And all I can say is, if things go according to plan, it's going to be a big year for Rocket Genius in 2016. So, Marcus, we'll have to keep an eye on that.
What is it called? Is it like the anti-gravity boots? What do we got going on? What's the code name? Come on, spill it.
Non-disclosure agreement.
Oh, damn.
Oh, no, I'm just kidding. I didn't sign any one of those, but I'd rather, you know, everything was pretty much off the record. But I will say they're working on some new things. There's some big things on the horizon, and we'll just have to, you know, when they happen, we'll talk about them. We'll be here probably sometime next year.
If it's a plug-in, I'll definitely review it.
So in terms of WordPress news of the week, I'm very happy to announce that Anissa Ferreira, I hope I got your name right, has been awarded the Kim Parcell Memorial Scholarship. Now, back in August, the WordPress Foundation opened up the application process so that people can nominate themselves or apply for the Kim Parcell Memorial Scholarship, which basically would allow one woman in the WordPress community an opportunity to attend WordCamp US with financial assistance from the foundation. And this was opened up worldwide. And the scholarship is, of course, in memory of the late Kim Parcell, who passed away late last year, early this year. And Ferreira actually, you know, she spoke at WordCamp Belo Horizonte. It's hard to get these things right. And she also helped organize and spoke at WordCamp Sao Paulo in 2014. And she is a Brazilian designer, feminist, and WordPress community activist. So all in all, if you look at her credentials and what she's been able to accomplish in the WordPress community, she is exactly the type of person that this scholarship was meant for. And she seems like the type of woman I think Kim Parcell would love to meet and talk to in person if she had the chance to. So congratulations to Anissa Ferreira. And if anyone out there or listeners have a chance to, you know, if you're going to WordCamp US this year, you should definitely seek her out and, you know, congratulate her and maybe just get to know her a little more.
Absolutely. I mean, what a great way to honor the memory of Kim than this scholarship. And I look forward to interacting with the winners of this scholarship every year. I think this is cool, and it really brings to light somebody who, like Kim, was a hardworking, dedicated person, dedicated to the community. And I think it's fantastic that we got somebody that was not in the U.S. to come to WordCamp U.S. I think that's very cool.
Yep. You described it perfectly. So, theme authors out there, especially theme authors, the WP title attribute is being deprecated in WordPress 4.4. So if you'll remember, back in WordPress 4.1, there was a 4.1 introduced a way for themes to support a new way of rendering the document title. And what it does now is it lets WordPress Core handle its generation and output. While there's recently been a patch submitted to Core, of course, WordPress 4.4, which is being worked on now, and it deprecates the WP underscore title attribute and replaces it with a more comprehensive way to generate the titles. So what this means is if you have WP debug turned on, hit it notice. Now, if you're a user of a theme that's using one of these themes and you don't have, you know, WP debug turned on, you probably won't notice anything is going on or that anything's wrong. However, any theme authors out there are encouraged to check their themes and remove the WP title attribute and add theme support for the title tag. Of course, we'll link to detailed notes about this change in the show notes, but I just wanted to throw that out there because nearly every theme out there, including ones just recently developed, used a WP title attribute. So it's going to be deprecated no more. Not supposed to use it anymore. So just keep an eye on that.
Yeah, there are a ton of themes. In fact, one that I just worked on this past week, I was working with a theme just trying to do a basic install for a family member. And that's going to be strange for theme developers. What are they going to, you know, I don't know how they're going to go about it in terms of upgrading existing themes that do this. I know there'll be a fix for it, but interesting development in how they're doing that.
So apparently theme developers, it's as easy as declaring theme support for Core's title tag, which allows them to, without breaking forward's compatibility, they can check for the callback function to see if it exists and add a shiv in case it does not. This is all dev speak. Of course, if this applies to you or you're a theme developer, just view the show notes. We'll link to it and all the information will be right there on a Make WordPress Core post.
Yeah, and for everybody else,
it's actually a very easy change.
Yeah, it is. And for everybody else that doesn't know what the heck we're talking about, don't worry. It's no big deal.
Pretty much, right.
Yeah.
That's about what it comes to. So here's a pretty fun post I read the other day by Ahmad Awais on torquemag.io, and he asked the question, what will WordPress be like in the next 10 years? So every time I see a post title like this, I have to read it because it's just I like seeing what people come up with, if their ideas of what WordPress could be turned into within the next 10 years. And 10 years is an internet time is an eternity. I mean, we just barely had smartphones, if at all, I think 10 years ago. I don't even think we had, let's see what it's 2015. Yeah. I don't think we didn't have Twitter. We didn't have Facebook and some other big thing just 10 years ago. I mean, it's kind of mind-blowing to think of that.
Yeah. So yeah, we went from Kubrick to where we are now.
So that's huge. That time frame's huge. So some of the ideas he comes up with is that WordPress will have custom dashboards. And, you know, that kind of makes sense to me, especially we know that the WordPress JSON REST API is going to be added to WordPress. And we've talked about it numerous times. It's going to lay the foundation for people to create niche dashboards that are relevant towards a specific use case. So I could definitely see that. I mean, that's more like on the horizon versus, you know, way out there towards 10 years. He also says that WordPress will have custom panels. And he says that custom panels will be something similar to like custom dashboards, but will be focused on a specific task for the website. Like, for example, hosted custom panel could serve as a project management system where all you have to do is connect your WordPress website to it or with it. So that seems like kind of a neat, noble idea. What do you think of that, Marcus? A custom panel?
It could work. I'd have to see maybe some prototype sketches or something like that of what they were talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. Some prototypes just to visually show me what that idea means.
Mm-hmm.
He also says that the WordPress and mobile apps will continue to evolve with the different JavaScript frameworks available, that creating a mobile app built on or using WordPress will be as easy as, you know, developing the theme or plugin with the software. And I think we're already starting to see signs of that happening. It's not quite there yet. but there's definitely some indication that we're moving towards that direction. And he also says that WordPress will have a strong notification API. So this sort of extends on the concept of building WordPress mobile apps, and the notification API, he says, will probably be consolidated first at the admin level, where businesses or administrators could get a complete mobile experience out of their site and you know, really tie in with some native apps and people can manage them. And I'm not necessarily sure where he's going with the notification API, because there's already notifications that we can get with WordPress. I don't know if he means that it will be extended or we could use it to create a myriad of different notifications. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, it needs a little bit of interpretation.
But I just think it's cool. And I think if we sit back, I mean, we have the JSON REST API. We've already noticed that. We've got that's going to enable, you know, it's the, hey, back to the future flying cars of WordPress that we like to call it. We have more and more WordPress development being JavaScript based, not so much PHP being involved. And we have all these other things as well. You know, to be honest, 10 years from now, I don't think anybody can get it right as to where WordPress will be. But this comment on this article by Morten Rand Hendrickson is awesome, and I'll probably link to it in the show notes. But just read a little bit from his comment. He says, 10 years from now, the web as we know it will no longer exist. Actually, 5 years from now, the web as we know it will no longer exist. He says, the underlying technology, the software, the devices used to access it, all are changing so rapidly, it is impossible to even begin to imagine what another 10 years of evolution will bring unless we stipulate that progress will halt and everything will stay the same.
And then, I disagree. And
just to follow up with that, Marcus, because then we'll talk about this, but he says, what will WordPress look like in 10 years? Nothing we could recognize. I would not be surprised if WordPress has gone long before then, evolved into some sort of perpetual live streaming tool for the masses, or baked into new hardware or even BioWare that connects us together in new and unimaginable ways. He goes on more with his comment, but just overall, the ideas and things he mentions in there sort of blows my mind. But what do you disagree with?
Well, okay, he's speaking of his own usage of the web. He's speaking of people that are more technically inclined and the adapters and early adopters of technology. And quite frankly, 90% of the people on there barely know how to navigate through their Gmail. Okay.
Okay.
So I don't see that happening. Unless all of the web suddenly converges and makes things easier. It's not going to happen. In 10 years from now, Google search is still going to suck. In 10 years from now, WordPress iOS app is still going to be terrible. You know, I'm sort of jesting about those things, but I don't think that major seismic shift is going to occur. We're not going to be getting in our REST API flying cars and turning them into apps with one click. We can barely get to the point where we're getting a commercial theme and then making it look like what the demo looks like with our own content. So we've got a long way to go if it's going to be that much. And who knows, man, maybe Matt's just laughing up in a castle somewhere and looking at that 10-year post and going, hey, I got half of this stuff already planned. You never know.
what about this? This other sentence that, and I quote from Morton's comment, most of what we use today, or most of what we today use WordPress for, which is publishing, commenting, sharing, and selling, are tasks that are bound to the web solely due to limitations in our infrastructure and hardware. And as things change, so will the services and the tools we use to communicate with databases on the web. What WordPress is will change with them. And I think that's sort of, that right there, that first part, where the way we use WordPress today is really just due to limitations in infrastructure and hardware. Do you see if there's any merit to that? Because I think there's some merit to that.
Some, but Are we proposing that the internet will suddenly turn into AOL and CompuServe? Well, we'll just have one keyword. Hey, type go WP Tavern. I mean, what's going to advance?
There's going to be an Oculus Rift WordPress app where you can actually, like, I don't know, draw words with your arms or something and write posts. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, that'll be fun for one post.
I just have a, you know, and most of the stuff that in this post I think is stuff that could be easily accomplishable or is on the horizon, you know, within 3 years' time, 4 or 5 at the max. In terms of beyond that, I just don't know. I don't know what WordPress will be. I don't know what forms it will take. You know, maybe you're right. Maybe it's just same old, but everything's faster or something. Or
I think it's going to be a lot. I think we'll be using WordPress in like 4K resolution for sure.
4K resolution. What is? Boy, my content's never looked better.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have like 9 meg headers, you know, and pictures will be like, you know, 14 megs or something. I don't know. I mean, really, how much more of an experience could there be? Is there much difference in a good web page today than, say, 5 years ago? Maybe resolution, right? Our screens are a little bit different. You know, we always used to code sites in 800 resolution. Now it's, you know, upwards of 1200, 1600, sometimes 1920. I don't know. It's very interesting to see those kinds of things. I would like to see WordPress actually develop more in terms of touch and gesture navigation. I think that would be interesting.
And I have heard Matt at times say that that's one of the areas he's sort of interested to see how WordPress or a portion of it evolves into in terms of what you'll be able to do or accomplish with it using gestures and stuff like that. So yeah. So he's sort of on that same ball. He's at least thinking about it.
Yeah. Are we going to have universal language in WordPress by 10 years from now with everything transcribed and all of that? I don't know. It seems like that would take that long to be perfect in that sense, 10 years. Let's talk about the stuff we got going on now and see if we can get it to work.
Anyways, we'll throw this out to the listeners. In fact, I challenge our listeners, if you have a prediction for where you think WordPress is going to be and how people are going to use it or where WordPress may end up, let's say 3, 5, or even 7 years from now, I think 10 is just too far out. Please send us an email at jeffc@wptavern.com, and we'll read off your predictions during next week's show. I think we could have fun with this if we get a couple of pretty cool responses submitted to us, Marcus.
Yeah, I encourage everybody to do that. jeffc@wptavern.com. Give us your prediction as to where you think WordPress will be in a decade.
And our last item for this week, I published a guest post today by Jesse Nichols on WP Tavern. And it's about his argument, and he makes the case that it's time for XML, RPC, and WordPress to hit the road.
No.
Now, if you're not familiar with what XML, RPC is, it's a protocol built on XML. I think RPC stands for Remote Procedure Control or something to that effect, where the easiest way to explain it is it allows you to communicate remotely to your website. So that's the WordPress mobile app uses XML RPC to connect and allow you to do things with your website. Jetpack uses it to, that's how you use it to authenticate your website to Jetpack. And it's also how pingbacks and trackbacks also use XML RPC in order to function. And he makes the case that there's just been so many hacking attempts and denial of service attacks leveraging XML RPC that it's time for WordPress core to just either disable it or yank it out of WordPress, because it's just it's not good. It's causing way too many problems than solving them, and he makes the the argument right there in that post. Of course, we'll link to it in the show notes. As far as my opinion goes, first of all, the REST API is sort of, you know, when the full API gets added, which is, I'd say somewhere around WordPress 4.5, it's not going to completely replace what we have now with XML RPC. It's going to replace some of it, but in some areas it's going to overlap. So we're not just going to be able to just rip out the XML RPC or disable it in place of the REST API. It's not going to work that way. So you can't just take it out because there's too many things that depend on it. Like I just said, like the mobile apps and everything else. Now there may come a time where when we have the REST API added that maybe we could turn off troublesome aspects of the XML RPC protocol, that maybe we can sort of stem the tide from these denial of service attacks or what have you. But until then, you know, there's just no way that WordPress Core is going to either rip it out or disable it.
Strap some two-factor authentication into that, and then you don't have any more hacker problems.
And this is true. So, I mean, right now, and this is kind of interesting, but the brute force, there's recently an issue with XMRPC where there is a certain procedure call where your hackers found out that instead of doing a brute force login attack with one try per HTTP request, you could bundle a ton of them in one HTTP request using XMRPC, making it much more efficient to try and brute force login attack your website. But apparently, I wonder if two-factor authentication, I guess obviously that would work because even if they guessed your password or whatever to get in, they would have to get by the other factor of authenticating who you are, and they wouldn't have that information.
Yep, that is the ultimate gate right there. So if they're looking for a way to make that more secure, that's the way to do it.
And speaking of two-factor authentication, that's something that I know a lot of people have interest in, or they would like to see it added to WordPress Core, and there is a working group in progress. I know George Stefanis, a member of the Jetpack team, and a few other people are sort of tinkering away and trying to create a solution in the, I would say, lab, the WordPress lab, to see if they can come up with a two-factor authentication for Core that is extensible and everybody can take advantage of. So that is being worked on, that idea, as far as I know. Of course, if you have any ideas or would like to take part in that, I know there's there may be a project or a specific site you can go to on the make.wordpress.core site. I'll have to link that to you in the show notes. But it would be pretty cool if two-factor authentication was part of Core. I mean, that boom right there, that would just instantly make WordPress that much more secure. It would, and because of, you know, how many people use WordPress on the web, and make the web that much more secure.
Absolutely. I use it on all of my sites, so it pays.
So without further ado, that's about all I have for this week's news. I will say that there is big news that's come out of Envato, where they're actually going to be moving their sort of registration from Australia to the U.S., and in fact, they're going to have all out-of-country sellers are going to have to pay U.S. tax or something to the IRS. But we're going to dive into that story next week because it's just sort of developed. I have to read into it. And there is a lot of commentary on that from theme sellers, as you can imagine. Most not too happy. As far as I know, it's just a big mess. So I'm going to try and clean up the mess, figure out what's going on, and we'll cover that next week. But until then, Marcus, what is our plug-in picks of the week?
Well, before we get to that, I want to mention one other thing about Envato that's sort of a noteworthy occasion. Right. They have discontinued their store, I forgot the name of it, that sells all the Flash stuff, all the Flash animations.
Oh, Flashdown.
Yeah, they're killing it, which I thought was very interesting, that finally Flash's time has finally come.
Yeah, and it must have been bittersweet for Kylis, the founder of Envato, because that is the site. That's the service that initially, that was the foundation of what Envato has become. And now it's sort of a bit full circle now that he's now had to shut it down.
Yeah, absolutely. So
one more nail in a coffin for Flash. Hurrah.
Yeah. We can finally put that tombstone to rest right there. And believe me, that tombstone takes a while to load. Jeff, here's my plug-in picks of the week. We're going to start this one off with a WooCommerce add-in. This is a very interesting plug-in that I found in the repository. It is called WooCommerce Price Per Word. And here's how it works. Customers upload a document on the product page, and then the word count of the document is used. The word count of the document is used to calculate the price that enters in the cart on a price per word basis. So if it's something like transcription or anything like that, this thing figures it out for the customer on the fly. So when they upload their order, it counts the words, puts the price down. That's what they pay. So I thought that was a pretty neat idea. It's called WooCommerce Price Per Word. The Shortcode Tester is a plugin that enables a pop-up window in the post editor and allows you to preview the output of what a shortcode is going to do without you having to go and view the post in a different window.
Ah, gotcha. So I see it's like, so on the left-hand side, you see the shortcode. On the right-hand side, you see its output.
That's correct.
Well, that's pretty nifty.
That's absolutely nifty. I mean, the one thing that I hate is having to go to another tab or another screen or what have you, or quickly hitting save and update and all that stuff every single time. And who knows, that one time that you save it and you get the shortcode wrong, you could completely screw it all up. So this allows you to test the shortcode without actually having to save a draft.
Nice. Good pick.
Yeah. Finally, I've got one that's kind of fun from a display perspective. It's called Beehive Cells. And all it does is it takes the featured image from either a post or a page, and it makes this really cool hexagonal kind of honeycomb pattern on the front page or wherever you're going to put this, either category pages or what have you. And it's just a really nice kind of alternate way to get away from the squares or rectangles or circles even that we're used to in terms of featured image. And it puts it in a neat little beehive cell. And that's the name of the plugin, Beehive Cells. And those are my plugin picks of the week.
So in your travels of browsing the web, have you ever come across a website that displays content or posts sort of in this beehive markup that you've seen?
No, never.
I wonder if that means it's not cool, or if it's not user-friendly, or if it's just so many people don't know about it.
I don't know, but if you sell honey, you probably want to use this on your site.
Yes, this would be perfect. Like if you're, you know, into bees or beehiving or something, you got a blog about that, this would be perfect for it.
There's a plug-in for everybody. That's the magic.
Awesome. So with that said, we've gotten through pretty much the entire show. Next week, our guest will be Kyle Moore of Real Big Marketing. He's based up there in Michigan, and he's also one of the creators behind the site WordCrash.net, which is a pretty cool website where if think about it's sort of like Airbnb, but specifically for WordCampers, where people can put a place online and tell people what their capacity is and how many pets they have. And if you need a free place to stay in that city, if they're having a WordCamp, you could contact the host and maybe work a deal out with somebody on there. So we're going to bring them on next week to figure out the inspiration behind it and see if he's taking advantage of it or if anyone else has. And we'll just learn more about him, his WordPress journey, and WordCrash.net.
Yeah, Kyle is very cool. I met him at WordCamp San Francisco last year, and he's also the host of a podcast that's kind of a Google Hangout. It's WP Roundtable, and I've been on that show. So it's nice to have Kyle come on board. I can't wait for next week. That's going to be a great show.
You too, huh? I was on WP Roundtable too.
Ah.
Right. So we're alumni.
We're never on the same show at the same time, except for this one.
Hey, this is true. We're WP After Hours, but that doesn't count.
No, that's not a show.
No, absolutely not.
you couldn't put that show anywhere. You'd have to put a double explicit tag.
No, there'd be a lot of people fired looking for work. So that's going to do it for this week's episode of WordPress Weekly. Geez, only next week will be at the end of October and in November, December. Man, Marcus, time flies when you do a weekly podcast.
Yeah, well, it's still 80 degrees here in Laguna Beach, so it doesn't even feel like fall.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, over here in Northern Ohio, it's beautiful today, but I'm getting ready for that cold, windy, 40-degree weather. What a nightmare. Sucks. Anyways, you can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on WPTavern.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, J-E-F-F-R-0. Marcus?
You can find me at my website, MarcusCouch.com, and also on Twitter at MarcusCouch.
Okie dokie, so we're through hump day. We got the weekend to look forward to. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday evening. Until then, stay safe and take care.